Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. John chapter 20. And I'll be there a while. Maybe you could turn to it, I suppose. Beginning at verse 1, John chapter 20. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre of the grave, what have you, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And Peter went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre." That was that Sunday morning. They had spent 3 days. They couldn't go out there. They couldn't do much. They didn't even have a chance to bury him. In other passages it says they came with spices and what have you. And when they came, they found the stone rolled away and Jesus was gone. The other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, that's John, the writer of the book. He never refers to himself. Maybe some of the guys on TV could learn that lesson. Our message should not be our denomination, our ministry, our this, our that. Our singing group should not be. It should be, let me tell you about Christ. And so many preachers, they preach themselves. So many ministers preach themselves. And I'm sorry, I can't save. My church, my denomination can't save. My movement can't save. Jesus saves. The denomination didn't die on the cross. The denomination didn't come out of the empty tomb. Jesus did. We need to preach Him as strongly as we can. They knew not, or they didn't know, where whoever rolled the stone and took the Lord. They didn't know where they brought him. Even though Jesus told him, and we just read it, the tail end of Matthew chapter 16, "You must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." This was the third day, or what have you. He told them. Not just once. And when they saw the evidence, hey, the tomb's empty and the body's gone, they didn't know. They had no idea. It wasn't in their thoughts that he was going to rise from the dead. They're like, well, they stole him and where'd they put him? They didn't understand. And that describes the Old Testament. It's all there. But the Jews didn't understand. It's interesting, in chapter 4 or 5, I forget exactly, in the book of Acts, that a great company of priests believed. They were the ones that knew the book better than anybody else, and they worked with the sacrifices, and they realized the little lambs we've been killing all that time. Jesus. These lambs were a picture of Jesus. And they understood about the feasts, they understood the bits and what have you of the tabernacle. They understood it and they said, oh, we believe that he's the Messiah. It was all there, but God has to reveal it, just as he had to reveal to Simon Peter. You know, when you try to witness, when you try to preach, it's the hardest thing in the world to get a person lost. They are lost. They think they're good. Or worse, they think that because they go to such and such church, they're okay. Or they said a prayer, or this or that. It's the hardest thing in the world to get past somebody's denomination and get them lost. Because, got a nice baptistry, glad for that. But that don't save. Got a nice church, that's great. But it can't save. I've been saying this on the radio for 10 years, coming on 11. And before I got on the radio, my message was the same. When I was down in Haiti and whatever, down in Mexico, down in Honduras, wherever I went, wherever I've been able to go, my message has been, it's Christ that saves. But Pastor and I were having a conversation a while ago while you was out there banging on the door to get in. Huh? Well, I forget. I kind of told my joke, and I guess I forgot what I was going to say. But most people in most churches are not saved. Sorry, throw stones if you will, but most people in most churches are not saved. They think they are. They're not. People don't want to hear it. I don't like saying it, but it's true. Now, our church ain't nothing special. I mean, you didn't come to the right one, okay? This is not the right church. Not any church. It's the Lord. You get that through your head. It's nothing special about us. God doesn't need us. God could, who knows, shut this thing down before Sunday. He could do it. We're nothing special, and we don't preach ourselves. Just as Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ. But they came to the empty tomb, they didn't understand, and their thoughts were on the things of the world, the natural world. Well, stone's gone, they took him. But it says in verse 4, so they ran together, both of them, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher, and he stooped down and looked in and saw the linen clothes lying, but it says he didn't go in verse 5. And Simon Peter came, I'll switch to regular English. He looked in the tombstone, and he saw the clothes lie, and the napkin that was wrapped around his head, it was apart from everything else. It was by itself, and it was tied. And it says the other disciple went in, and he saw John. The apostle John saw, and he believed. He believed. And it says they didn't understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Not just in Matthew when Jesus said it, but from the Old Testament. It talks of Jesus rising from the dead. Not just in one place. They didn't understand the scriptures. But it says, and then the disciples went away to their own house. That napkin that was by itself and folded. If somebody had somehow chased away the Roman guards, rolled that stone away, and stole the body. Oh man, quick, hurry up, let's go, come on, right? We don't have time to gently remove the napkin on his face and tie it nice and put it by itself. That's just thrown somewhere, right? Proof that it wasn't grave robbers. But that Jesus took care to do it when he rose up from the dead. Now, I'm going to make some people mad, and that's fine. If we look at perhaps the different burial customs of the Jews in other places and other subjects, the the various customs of how Jews would get married, the ceremony would have you. There's something we can learn from that. And the more we know, I mean, God doesn't put a premium on ignorance, but the more we can learn, the better off we are. If we learn from history, you want to study Daniel chapter 11, you got to read history. You got to understand history if you're going to make any sense of Daniel chapter 11. Every time they dig up a bone or a piece of pottery or anything in the Middle East, it confirms the Bible. They don't find things that contradict the Bible. They say, well, the book says in Genesis chapter whatever, there was this town here, right? It's a desert. And they dig down 40 feet, and what do you know? There's a town here, just like the Bible said. Okay? Archaeology, tradition, history, etc. They are all helpful in interpreting the Bible. They can add some detail. But none of these embellishments are told to us in the Bible. We have enough. If there was something about when Jews would bury their dead and would have you, or whatever. There was something about a folded napkin. There may be something to it, and I believe that there is. But we're not told any detail except that the napkin was by itself. Again, we can learn a little bit from various sources. But the Bible's the record. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is true and truth. We must always understand that we go back to the Bible. Most of the people in the world will never have more than one Bible. I mean, it may get torn up or whatever and they'll get another one, but they don't have different translations. I mean, here in America, you know, we got 100, you can get it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon or whatever. But in most of the world, they got one translation in their language, and that's it. Maybe they don't have Sunday school. Maybe they don't have Bible college. Maybe they don't have access to commentaries. They got a Bible and what their pastor and maybe the deacon says, right? But the Bible gives enough. The Bible gives enough to understand all we need to know. To live right. To look for Him. What have you. I can chase a rabbit and talk about the 7 golden candlestick, and I don't want to do that. But the Bible is enough. And all of the history and etc. and scholarship and archaeology, it cannot take the place of the book. There are those that major on these minor things and make doctrines out of them. Perry Stone, his big deal is finding some little thing and some little scroll and who knows whatever, and he's got a big production, right? That's how he is. Jonathan Kahneman, same thing, going to make a big deal out of something nobody's ever heard of. They sell millions of books. They major on the minor things. Get mad. Go ahead. It's true. Many websites, many YouTube videos, Facebook posts. Got all kind of stuff about all kind of things. You know, the world's going to end Saturday. Well, no, it's not. But somebody got on the internet and said, oh, and I got reasons, whatever. I got 88 reasons why the Lord's going to return in 1988. It didn't, did it? The book says if you go off saying that it's going to happen on such and such a day, you're wrong to begin with. But how many people, they eat that stuff up? They go for sensationalism. There are many that preach another gospel and they lead people away from the written word of God and they lead people away from the Messiah. Jesus said it would be so. Paul said it would be so. Paul spent the last couple of years of his life, whatever it was, warning people night and day, hey, these wolves are going to come. Well, it's true. Gnosticism is special knowledge. It's only revealed to members of the club. If you're not in our group, you can't understand. Mormonism. You don't get to know what that's about unless you join. Freemasonry, which is where Mormonism came from. You don't get to know the stuff until you go through the initiation. And people on Christian TV, Sue Paul, they major on special revelation, hidden things, whatever, things that don't really matter, but they make a big production out of it. But getting back to our text, it says that they knew not the scriptures. They found the empty tomb, but they didn't understand the scriptures. And they went home, it says. John believed, but everybody else, they missed it. They went home, still dejected. They had evidence of the resurrection, but they didn't believe. They had no faith. They had no direction. They had no clue. But John believed, and one other, as we'll see. There were the multitudes, anybody that cared to listen, and Jesus had great crowds. Fed the 4,000, 5,000, what have you. It's a bunch of people, tens of thousands, however many people. Everywhere he went, crowds were there. And many of them believed, and that was great. In Luke chapter 10, it talks about the 70 others also that were evangelists or whatever. They were disciples. They were not the core 12, but then there were the 12 disciples. Then there was Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. And then there was the one special disciple, John. In John chapter 21, verse 20, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, the last supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee, would have you? Again, you've got everybody who went to the meetings. You've got the 70, then narrowing down, you get the 12, then the inner circle, the 3, but then you've got that one that Jesus loved, and apparently he loved him back. Everybody's trying to eat, right? You go to food. I mean, last supper, we're going to have some this and that. Everybody's worried about food, and John was snuggling up against it, right? I want to be close to the Lord, right? But they had evidence of resurrection. But it says in John chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, remember they said they were going to go home. Simon Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. And they said, we're going to go too, right? 3.5 years of miracles practically every day. The best sermons anybody's ever going to hear on the planet, Sermon on the Mount. He gave that kind of message all the time. They spent 24/7 with the man. They all slept out in the field together, right? They didn't have Holiday Inn. They slept in the dirt. When he healed the lepers, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, name it, all the disciples were there. He told them, I'm going to rise from the dead. They saw evidence of the empty tomb. They had no faith. They were still bummed out. And they said, let's go home. It's over. It's over. Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm going to go back to what I used to. I got to make a living. I got to go get a job. I mean, this thing's over. And all the other fishermen said, we're going too. But in verse 11 here of John chapter 20. But Mary stood outside or without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the empty tomb. And saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And he said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? They're in the empty tomb. There's angels from heaven in Mary Magdalene. She still didn't get it. And she said, well, you know, they took him away and I don't know where they brought him and, you know, and but it says in verse 14, and she said that, and she turned away back, and to go back out of the empty tomb, go back home. And she saw Jesus standing there, and didn't know that it was Jesus. Let me say something. They were 3.5 years with this man. Now, I don't know where she slept, but all the disciples slept right next to him, right? Kind of bumped him, in the, you know, when he rolled over and bumped him, ooh, sorry, Jesus, whatever. They were right there. Every meal, right there. This is Mary Magdalene, the one, just like John the Apostle, wanted to be as close to him as she possibly could. She's in the empty tomb. There's angels, glorified angels, sitting there. And she turns around to leave and sees Jesus standing in front of her and didn't recognize him. Didn't recognize him. You would think that they would know, right? She was as good as one of the disciples. Didn't recognize him. And said, you know, sir, not Lord or Rabboni or nothing, sir, if you've taken him, tell me where you brought him, and I'll go ahead and take care of him from here, right? Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned around and realized, hey, that's him. That's him. I guess that she recognized the sound of her name from his lips in her ears. I guess. I want to look at it this way. She thought it was the gardener. I don't know who those angels are. But when relationship entered into the picture, when he called her name, then I recognize him. And talk about that week 3, I believe it is, in Isaiah chapter 53. There's no beauty where we should desire him. There wasn't nothing special about him. Hollywood, they would have never invited him to try out. Right? Recording contract? No, they wouldn't give him one. There was nothing about him that was special. He's just an average, ordinary guy out in the sticks. But when he called a name, then she recognized. Those two angels sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, there's a lot here. Exodus chapter 17, verse 11 and 12. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. They were winning in the war. And when Moses let down his hand, Amalek, the enemy, prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat, and Aaron on one side and Hur on the other, held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Look at me. I'm in the right position to be nailed to a cross, right? That's Moses making the sign of a cross. There's a lot here taught on this, but he's sitting. That angel rolled that stone away and sat on it. One of the other passages it says, right? You got Moses sitting, you got an angel sitting on a stone. You got Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' arms. You got two angels sitting, one at head and one at the feet of Christ, okay? This passage here in Exodus chapter 17 is a picture and a prophecy of what happened in that empty tomb You understand? If you go to the Old Testament, you'll find everything you want in the New. Told again and again and again. And not just told, but Hebrew is a language of pictures. Pictures worth a thousand words. If you can get your picture in the mind that Moses is sitting there on a rock and these two guys are holding up his hands, that's a picture of the crucifixion, right? It's told again. Everything Jesus ever did is foretold in the Old Testament. There are some denominations, they major on the New Testament. Old Testament, they don't want to hear it. They don't go there. Most of the people in the pews got New Testaments. Because the Old Testament's passed away. We don't need that. Well, no, you can't understand the New Testament unless you can understand the Old. You've got to get a foundation in the Old if you want to make any sense of the New. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But that gardener, she thought that Jesus was just the gardener. Nobody pays attention to the gardener. I don't care about him. I'm going to go in the door, right? He can trim the hedge and get stung by the wasp all he wants. I'm just going in the building, right? Who cares about the gardener? The gardener, he wasn't, but she thought he was. That's religious activity. That's religion with no power. No relationship. I don't care about the gardener. No resurrection. Because if he's just the gardener, then somebody stole it. And no overcoming life. The Christian life is so powerful that you got to have relationship. And he's got to have been your Messiah. He's got to have been your Savior and been crucified for your sins. You've got to have a relationship. You've got to know him from the book. So that's my message. You can fire me and get somebody else the next week if you want, but that's my message. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I hope we've done some good. Hope we learned something. And please, sir, we would see Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.